Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 800, A United Front, recorded on October 11th, 2021. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm, for this very special episode of Podtacular. We are counting down the days to Halo Infinite, and I've got two wonderful guest hosts with me on the podcast for this episode. We've got DJ Blue, PDX, and Hidden Xperia, both returning back to the podcast. What's up, guys?
Woo!
Hey, good to be here. Been a long time.
Blew up my mind.
It's been quite a while. I know, DJ, you've been on pretty recently with the DreamHack Griffball series that you've been doing, which has been continuing, actually.
Yeah, we teamed up with Astro Gaming and Logitech G. We've got a brand new trilogy coming out of Griffball events that all end the weekend before Halo Infinite comes out. So it's going to end December, the weekend of December 4th. Obviously, Infinite comes out December 8th. My birthday is the next day. So I know what I'm doing in my birthday week.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yes.
And then Hidden Xperia, I think.
Moa Burgers and Halo.
There you go. I think the last time you were on the podcast was probably a PAX podcast like 3 years ago or something like that.
It was a long time ago. It's been a very long while since I was on the podcast because the time zones just haven't sync up at all. Like it's been like 4 a.m. for me when you've been recording, which is just too late. So we've been trying to do it for a while. I'm pretty sure we've messaged it like quite a lot trying to arrange it, but it's never happened because of time zones.
Yeah, because when we normally record 8:30, it's 1:30 for you all over in the UK.
Yeah.
Which is, not fun. We do have a couple folks that pop in every once in a while and we're like, why are you still up? Go to sleep. You can listen to the podcast on the download.
Downloaded here.com.
Right. But yeah, it's been 3 years?
I feel like it's been sooner because I thought you were on a show with us, Luke.
Yeah, no, I did a show.
That was when I found out you were rock climbing.
Yeah, no, I did a show with you last year.
Yeah.
Year ago, maybe, I think.
Oh,
I did a show with you.
Was it during the E3 stuff?
You went through this.
Or
no, it was after that. It was, I feel like it was like this time last year.
Yeah. Maybe it was last year because you went through this huge physical transformation. You were talking about all the rock climbing. We were talking about the mats and the stones and how you were actually using things. It was a really interesting conversation. It was right about the time you launched your new clothing line.
Oh, yeah. So it was like this time last year then. It was about this time last year.
Okay. So not too long ago, but still haven't seen you. And I think I haven't seen either of you since Outpost.
Yeah, Outpost.
Physically? Dude. No. We've locked ourselves.
The last time I saw
what
you.
What does the world come to?
The last time I saw you, this is at Outpost. We went to that bar. And I was talking with the bartender about RuneScape for like 4 hours, and we logged into each other's accounts on our phones, and we were comparing banks. Like he was behind the bar, and I was on the other side of the bar, and we were comparing RuneScape banks on our phones. That was mad. A few minutes ago, I found the note that he'd given me with his RuneScape name on. It's pretty mad,
dude. That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, I forgot we spent
great.
We spent 4 hours together. Like before I think you had to get your flight or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It might have been one of the nicest and then that was good though. That was good.
Yeah. Good times. Good times. Don't know if it'll happen again, but dang, Outpost was such fond memories.
Yeah. Well, I actually put on my Outpost jersey just in case we did this on film, and I'm like, no, I don't. I'm still feeling like I earned it.
We believe you, DJ. We believe you.
Thanks, guys.
I always wear my Outpost jerseys whenever I'm doing a stream on the Podtacular channel now. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice. Cool. So with the countdown
sidebar. Oh,
sorry. Go ahead.
I have a sidebar question. Who's going to? Are either of you going to Raleigh, North Carolina?
I am not. I'm going to be way too busy with videos around that time. I was debating it, but I've been. I'm going to be slammed with work. Like anything that will come out like a week before, I'm not going to have a soul to call my own. I'm probably not going to be sleeping. So, like. Going out to go and like get food is going to be hard, let alone going to North Carolina for like 5 days.
So holiday zombie Xperia coming this holiday season to a podcast near you.
Something like that.
I've got a thing called Family and Responsibilities. The weekend leading
I know the
up
first
to
word, that
to
last
Christmas.
Word sounds abrasive. Why are you using that kind of language?
So no, the fact that it's the weekend before Christmas holiday, just no.
Yeah.
Just no.
Yeah, it's pretty awkward timing for us guys, I think.
Yeah. Like, why? It's like, so we were talking about it on the previous podcast that we had about, like, why it's important for them to try to get the ball started early on getting competitive events out there for Infinite. So, like, I get some of the business decisions behind it, but that's a pretty big decision for players to put on those that have family Christmas traditions or holiday traditions. Is like, so you're really going to put that decision on people that are organizing this and players that are wanting to participate in this, but also have probably family obligations or traditions that may have already been put into play months in advance.
100%.
And yeah, but I still think launch events are important. I think that's the issue isn't that it's a launch event.
It's important.
The issue is when the launch is. Like the fact that the launch is so close to Christmas. But
yeah.
I don't know. I think it needs to happen because like those launch events, no one ever really like based on my experience in like competitive Halo, like having watched it for like 10 years ish. Like the first events, no one really like counts for like as much as other events because obviously everyone's still new to the game. No one's really learned anything yet. It's just like a fun thing to get the ball rolling and to kind of give everyone a taste of what competing in the game is going to be like. Obviously, it's going to be a sick event and I can't wait to watch it. But I think it was the Reach one. I think there was a Reach one that was around the launch of Reach that had like weird maps and settings. And everyone was like, yeah, it's the first event, but we're not going to put too much stock into it because it's not like it's not like on proper settings or anything. So I think it's just meant to be like a fun first event to, like you said, get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Well, and from a competitive standpoint, and I hate to be the, like, this is the weird part. Hey, DJ is talking about competitive standpoint, and all he is the griffballer. And I truly relatively suck at all things shooty, although I did do really well during the testing. But the point is, like, this is that first moment of adaptability. Let's test player adaptability.
Yeah.
We've got some of the greatest players in the current modern Halo model who are rolling up into this event, getting ready to see where they can place, how they can do, and how well they can do it in a moment's notice. This game comes out on the 9th, and the event starts 9 days later. You've got crunch time, launch time, video time, promo time, and that all gets popped into 1 week's period, like a 1 week sequence before they fly out, check in for tech prep the day before the event starts, and then go. It's go time. See how they roll. It's a good test, I think, for HCS, especially with their new partnership through Esports Engine and really looking at how the program is going to fold out coming into 2022 as they see, okay, what kind of adaptability did we see here? How are we looking at where these maps need to go? What needs to be changed? Do we need a different call signs? Do we need a different adaptability? Are there settings in these games that need to be altered in order to make for a better, more competitive environment? These are all questions that can be answered one way. Throw them into a tournament, see what the hell happens, and if it works, well, you know, great, let's go.
Right, right. No, it definitely makes sense.
You're welcome, because I bleeped myself.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it definitely makes business sense. It just, the timing of it could not be worse, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it ends on the 19th. You've still got a few days to get to your family and enjoy it before, obviously, weird stuff happens, like, I don't know, maybe weather. Or otherwise, I hopefully will meet my housemate down at Universal for one day of Harry Potter before flying home back to the West Coast. I don't know. It may happen. It may not happen. But some of these players are going to walk out winners and be able to celebrate. Oh, my gosh, we did this. Did we like it? We won. So, I mean, I guess we did.
I mean,
versus, holy crap, we lost. Pots, here's why.
It's still a six-figure prize pot, right? It's like 250K.
Right.
Like, that ain't a bad Christmas present. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Here, Mom, I'm paying off your house.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm honestly I'm rooting for Pistola because I remember when he first came out with I want to pay off my parents' house. And I'm hoping, because I know he's coming into this competition, and I'm hoping Pistola's team walks away with a win. I think it'd be great.
I think it'd
be really fun.
I'm also a big Pistola fanboy.
Yeah.
Same.
Can I tell you a quick story about the first few times that I've ever met him?
Go on.
Sure.
I believe three out of like the seven times that we've met up have all been in the bathroom. At okay. tournaments, like, I will walk out of a stall and he walks out of a stall and we're like, oh, hey. And then we go wash our hands together and talk for a second and then go on about our day, wave at each other, say hi in passing and whatever. But it's happened like three different times. Then we ended up both at the bar together in, I want to say it was DreamHack Atlanta, what, 2018? When I was there and, yeah, it was DreamHack Atlanta 2018. And we both ran to the bar like, finally, we're not in a bathroom together. And people turned around and looked at us. So we both went, yeah, that needs clarification.
Right. There's a story behind there that probably needs to be.
Right. Yeah. Please don't take that for what it sounds like. But yeah, no. So I'm super excited to see some of these incredible players. And you've looked at this top 25 that it got put out by HCS. And it's a really great list of players. Now, everybody's got their different opinion. Either way, plus, you're in the top 50. You're in the top 0.01% of players. Who cares what your position? I get people are like, oh, I want to be number 24 instead of 25.
I don't know. Ogre 2, Ogre 1 being outside of top 10. Not sure about that one.
But they're also the Ogres. Like, it's the Ogres. Either way, I think fans are going to be fans, and the more opportunity we have to celebrate that fandom and start that build up and start pushing forward with that energy, that hype, that necessity to engage in our HCS competitive fandom, it's imperative that that gets started again
because
we've had a lull. And in all honesty, and this is nothing against 343 or Tashi or anyone, but we've had a gap for a minute. The last major event I remember loving going to was HCS Worlds 2018. We've had some DreamHack events that have happened that have been great. They've had some fun stuff that happened there. But the level and volume of hype and excitement that happened at Halo Worlds in 2018 in Seattle has yet to have been matched.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm excited to see where they're going with Infinite, because, and I hate to coin a phrase here, but I'm gonna, the possibilities are infinite.
that saying is going to be used so much over the next
I've already
seen so many of your videos where you use videos that so many times.
Oh my god.
That, and brutally honest, I've already like beaten to a pulp.
I think maybe every video of yours, except for maybe like two or three over the last three or four months, has had one of those two phrases in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, pretty much. Making the most of them, right?
There you go. Yeah,
you should take advantage of that. Every opportunity. Let's be honest. Go with, say it. The opportunities are
infinite,
endless.
God,
you boundless,
fuck. Not finite. Never
infinite?
Ending.
Did you just say unfathomable? Infinite?
Not finite. Unfathomable. Not finite. Endless supply. Never ending. Oh. Let me whip out my thesaurus real quick. Unimaginable.
Never ending. Kind of like my forehead.
There you go.
Good stuff. But yeah, so, I mean, it's great that they're getting it out there because they need to. And like you were saying, DJ, being able to get out there, seeing how the players are adapt, kind of gives them a little bit of an edge while the game is still fresh and out there for them to make subtle tweaks that other communities out there that are going to be running competitive events in January and even to follow up with HCS events, that they can make those tweaks out while the game is still fresh and really tailor the game for competitive. But I do want to hopefully see them really rely on the pros to help drive the competitive settings for the game, because taking a look back at how MLG did it, Bungie really didn't make the games with MLG in mind. Like, their development of multiplayer was not done in the concept of, hey, we're going to make Halo 3 and Halo Reach in the way that is designed for MLG. They came out and they took the game that Bungie came out with and they made their own settings with it. So I think there needs to be a little bit of autonomy within the competitive community. And I mean, obviously, 343 is running the competitive part. They're going to have final says in certain things, but give the competitive players and coaches and other folks outside the studio a little bit more autonomy and a little bit more free rein on defining what those settings are within the weapon sandbox, the maps, the abilities, the equipment. Let them define what their competitive play is going to be, because they know what works. Like, half of the competitive players are still based on, like, from MLG. So they know.
Yeah.
They know how that stuff is going.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Totally agree.
And here's the thing, right? I see the idea with Halo 5, with what they did with Halo 5, where they're like, oh, yeah, let's play ARs and radars for, like, a year and a half. Like, the idea, I understand the idea of having, like, the entire game play the same setting so that, like, casual fans can associate more competitive compared to, like, Halo 3, where the maps were different, the weapon set were different, the damage and everything, the move speed damage, everything was a bit different. But, like, realistically, Halo has always been a very modular game. It's always excelled in being modular, in the fact that you have the casual community that can play, like, 15 different settings that are all completely different to each other, and then you've got the competitive community who can also play, like, completely different settings as well. That's something that they need to appreciate with Infinite and really go into, and not try and make the competitive settings the same as casual settings, because that, like, it degrades the entire experience, because it kind of erodes the competitive nature of it, because you've got people running around with fully automatic weapons that have headshot multipliers that can laser people. And then also, it takes away from the experience for casuals as well, because they're just watching the same thing that they play. They're not watching this kind of, like, elevated level of play, or like elevated, not level of play, rather, like this elevated kind of style of play. They're watching the exact same kind of settings that they play on, the exact same style of play that they can play. And I don't know, it just, there's always been this kind of, like, with, like, any game, any Halo game that's done settings that are different for competitive to casual, there's always been this kind of, like, really, like, elite fashion to it in a way. I don't know how to describe it. It's weird.
No, but you're...
I want to echo this, because I completely agree. There's a separation of settings. When you look at, and I'm going to throw this, the only thing that I have got any experience in, which is competitive Griffball, when you look at the stylized settings that have been, that were placed originally in matchmaking compared to what we competed in, two completely different styles, different settings, different designs. It wasn't until MCC that 343 adopted the AGLA settings for the grip from competitive Griffball into that model to make it a standardized experience. But even then, when you look moving forward, I get it now why competitive settings need to be consistent, need to be stayed, need to be consistent. You've got to make them solid so that there is an element to practice in, an element to thrive in, and something to expect. Now, that being said, there's also that balance factor of I would say, that objective pliability. How quickly can you adapt to the settings when they change the environment that you're introduced to? Which I think we'll see coming this, like, you know, later on this year with that first environment. We're going to see how well they adapt to it, but you can't expect professionals to play in something that's constantly changing. You don't see a change in football, European or American football. You don't see a change in soccer. You don't see a change in tennis. You don't see those. They're not changing the size of the balls, the pressure the balls are on, the size of the goals. They're not changing the size of the fields constantly. They are consistent. Those players get to practice and they get to consistently drill in an environment that reflects how they are going to compete.
And see,
esports should reflect that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So if I can make a comparison between, like, professional league play in athletic sports versus, like, pickup league type stuff or YMCA ball or that kind of stuff, like, the rules are a little bit different, because you only, like, for children's sports, you usually have a set time slot, so the rules are changed a little bit to fit it within that time slot, where professional games, they're a little bit more flexible on the time because of different rules applied. So I feel like the same thing could be said between matchmaking and competitive rules. So you can still have some of them be similar, but I think I kind of lean towards more what you were saying, Xperia. Like, that competitive play is different. Like, and what you were saying, DJ, how AGLA was not the same settings as in matchmaking, is because it is different. You can have 4-hour golf ball games in the settings, where matchmaking needs to be a shorter game for the matchmaking system to survive and thrive. So, those settings do need to have the ability to be different. And
I'll throw you an example out. An example that's been happening recently. Like, we've got Griffball currently in rotation. For those of you who are listening to this in the podcast right now, Griffball's still in rotation for the next, 24 hours, 48 hours for this week. And I've been rolling in with my friends because it's AGLA rules in H4 for MCC. We've been like, I don't lose games. That's just, I think in 10 and a half hours once, we did 117 consecutive wins.
Jesus.
And I rotated people through that list. But yesterday we had a really interesting, unique experience. We ran into a player multiple times who got frustrated in chat and it, like, vocalized it. And I was like, hey, and we were all in our squad and I said, listen, meet me on whatever side you spawn on. Just go to the wall. I'll see you. I want you to look at your radar and see when I get in it. I'm not going to drop my hammer, but I want you to test your range. You're either going to knock me back or kill me. Get used to where my red dot is in your radar. You want to radar tank. That's why we're killing you so quickly every time. And I'm typing this out in chat, right? And he started to learn until I ended stream. And then, like, Craigasaur and Ugluf and I grabbed him. We're like, just come in a new game. And he came in with us and we got to teach him and let him play with us and learn some of those things that we're doing. And it's that realization that when you put competitive, and there's a reason why I'm bringing this up, when you put a competitive skill set or competitive traits on a match, like we have in Griffball, that's why it's only in rotation for a week, because it's easy to be abused. People like me and other competitive Griffballers will go in, and unfortunately, we beat the living daylights out of everybody. Now, granted, what I will continue to go into matchmaking in Halo MCC and watch my KD go right back through the floor because I'm getting destroyed by the very same people I just stomped on for the last how many weeks? You know, for 1 week, and they get to beat me up for three. That's fine. Whatever.
Fair enough.
I'm not somebody concerned with my KD. I don't really care, even though it's still positive. But it's that element of looking at, all right, we have matchmaking because it's softer, it's easier, and you get people who aren't really they're not ingrained in that whole concept of, I'm here to win. Some people just want to play to have fun. And I would say the majority of the Halo community wants to have a fun experience, a reasonable experience. And when you have to put the competitive limelight into that mix, you risk a potential disenfranchised feeling and experience for people who are first in. And that's why when we walk into games, we either end it quickly or make sure we're being as positive and proactive in the chat in game so that people understand we're not trying to destroy you. We're just
playing how we play it.
If you have questions, like, here's how you can find out more. But it also increases that community while establishing, look, we're not here to just be dicks. Sorry, you may have to blurp that word out. But we're here to play the game, and we're really good at this one mode. It's the one thing we're good at. You put Ace and Elamite into a game, even if they're just duos, the brothers playing together, they're going to rumple stomp everybody. You put the Ogre Twins, you put them in, just the two of them, they will destroy everybody in that game. They just will. It's just the way that it is. And that's where the big balance comes into play. Like, how do we establish a balance so that there's an opportunity for new players to learn the game? Players who are mid-tier that are wanting to be competitive, but just aren't quite there yet. And the players who are aiming near pro, who are really looking for that opportunity to exceed their threshold and get noticed and get in on the level that they become a valuable asset to a team. They are different tiers and can't be lumped into one group. They have to be treated separately.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree entirely.
In my humble opinion.
The two communities are so different. You can't expect to merge the two and have it work properly. Like, it goes back to the whole thing about Halo being modular. That's one of the best things about Halo, about the core gameplay of Halo games, is that they are modular. So you can cater the game to play how you want it to play, to accommodate to how you want to play it, the ways that, like, certain, like players of certain skill levels would play it. That's in my opinion, that is the biggest strength of Halo's gameplay. And I'm just hoping that that's something that Infinite, like, lays into really hard, because, it's what I think is the biggest strength. The fact that you can have a game that has, like, simultaneously, like Halo 3, for example, that has some of the best competitive settings ever, And then simultaneously, people are playing, like, I don't know, like Jenga in the same game, or Rocket Race, or VIP, right? Like, and 18. That's the same game. Yep. That's not modded. It's like, that's the same game with the tools that are put into the game for players to play with. Like, the fact that that can happen in one game, and that goes to literally every Halo game, like from Halo 1 to Halo 5, the fact that that can happen is a testament to how good Halo's core is.
And you've got to look at these, at the developers and at 343, like, props to Tashi, because I couldn't imagine doing what Tashi does and having to balance all these different mitigations between the different levels of play, the different styles. How do you qualify? How do you quantify? What judges what's good, what's better, what's best? Like, these are all things that the entire HCS team works to identify, works to push this out. And the same thing with the multiplayer team. This is not one person making these calls and decisions. There's an entire staff of people and analysts and players and advisors and consultants that look at this and go, oh, maybe this is why we might want to try bring this down, bring this area up, because otherwise it's not fair to the larger majority, even though it does cater to a specific group.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's not an easy conversation to have. There's no right answer ever. And they have the hardest jobs in the face of the earth right now. And they've got an entire community, a nation of Halo players, so to speak.
Yeah.
Half of which are coming at them teeth drawn, you know, fists at the ready. How do you come up with the right response? How do you come up with the right way to handle a situation that is going to end up with a potentially volatile reply, no matter what you do? Like, it's a rough spot to be in. And I commend them for their consistency and their tenacity and their constant objectivity when they're looking at these situations and not taking some of these things personally, like Uni and Sketch dealing and managing with all the elements. You look at, like, just to throw this out there, I watched that team, Snickerdoodle, Uni, and Sketch, along with Postums and several others, answering questions until 1 o'clock in the morning, the night before the flight was going. Because I was up at that hour watching the replies, like, y'all are monsters. This is great. And I don't mean monsters badly. I mean, y'all are monsters in the fact that you're still going, you're still replying, you're still being kind, you're still being insightful, you're giving the necessary info, and you're nailing it. And the replies are not recognizing the efforts are being made, because if you think those people weren't back up at 8 o'clock in the morning with a flight going live at 10, you're mistaken. They got 5-6 hours of sleep at best. And still went on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And that's the team that's backing this game. And that's why I think Halo is locked in for anybody who's a mad Halo player like us, whether we're good at it or bad at it. I really suck at all things, mostly, aside from Griffball-ish. But it's a wild perspective to look at. And it comes down to how the community manages it and how we as influencers, in these cases, manage that expectation and communicate best practices, you know?
Well, and kind of what you're saying, DJ, it really boils down to what are players speaking by what they're playing in the industry, what's getting the most hype. So they're obviously going to be pulling from certain aspects of gameplay mechanics, functionality. There's obviously some Halo history to go with it. And you have to balance that with the lore. And I mean, that brings up the whole sprint debacle of, well, I mean, in lore, Spartans can sprint. They, like, you can move faster if you're not aiming your weapon, and you can sprint. Even though they are super soldiers, you can move faster if you're sprinting, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, you can move.
And it's 2021! Like, we've moved beyond 2007 level gaming.
But just to use sprinting as an example, you're going to have people that are like, yeah, I don't care if sprint is in there. Yeah, I love sprint. Or, no, I hate sprint. It's like, okay, you're arguing lore versus game mechanics, which is a legitimate argument for a game like Halo, and it's hard to balance. Yeah. It
things Xperia and I disagree on.
I was gonna say I disagree with that it's a valid thing, because gameplay always outstays lore. Like, gameplay should always come first.
Can I ask why?
Because so if you take back like the if you allow lore to dictate gameplay, then there is no limit to what can happen. which might sound good, right? But it becomes a balancing hell. So the kind of explanation that I always use is there's a section in, I believe it's First Strike, where Linda hangs upside down on a cable in space and angles herself such that the light reflects off her, which makes her invisible, and she snipes a Banshee pilot out of a Banshee whilst dangling upside down on this cable, which is sick, right? Scene. Which is sick as anything, right? But that's not something that can reliably be done in gameplay. That cannot be something that can, like, can be dynamically replicated in gameplay.
Why can't that be a goal? Why can't that be a goal?
Because it's something that's so unfeasible and that would require such, like... something like that would require scripting, right? You would have to script an event like a QuickTime event, which, in like paper on paper, it sounds cool, but like when you press a button, so for example, with that, it's like, you know, in Halo 4, the first level, when you're climbing up the elevator shaft and that elite pops up.
Right.
And instead of like you actually fighting the elite, you press B and then an animation happens and you don't do anything. Like, I don't like that at all. It's the same with the Didact. Like, the Didact boss fight was you pressing a button and then the game just did everything else for you. The stuff like that needs to be something that a player can reliably do in game, that can be balanced, right? That can be, it can be dynamic in the way that it happens in game, but can't happen so commonly. Like, something so extreme like that can't happen so frequently that people are doing it all the time. Because if you've got a game where every game, everyone is just dangling upside down on cables, the balance is going to be like messed up. You're not going to be able to build maps around that. Engagements are going to be wrong. It just wouldn't work. So that's why I like things that are like quite developer controlled, that are very sandbox orientated. Cause that to me is not something that is sandbox orientated. Like, yeah, it can play with a sandbox, but that leans more towards something like a Spartan ability where it's like you spawn with the ability to do this really cool thing. I guess then you could make the argument that maybe you could pick up like a power up or something that would allow you to do that. But I think that's pushing the boat out a little bit.
So can I ask a question then?
Yeah.
If that is the direction, the vision based upon the direction that the creators of the franchise have decided to go, and this is going to sound pointed, and I'll quantify this in a second. Who are we to countermand their vision?
I mean,
and the reason I ask this is because one thing we're talking about is campaign play, campaign storyline. Now, as a campaign storyline, being able to do that would be epic. How amazing would that be to have that moment where you jump into that character? If you can swap characters, or in the campaign narrative, it swaps you to that character's perspective to run that one single moment, and then you pop back into the character you were in. There are so many different storytelling elements. We've seen them tell stories in so many different directions, from ODST to Reach, like segmenting that storyline, jumping into different personas, and being able to, I would say, engage with loss and sacrifice in a new and differently profound way. But translating what can or may happen in campaign versus what can or may happen in multiplayer are two different books or schools of thought. The things that happen in multiplayer, are they not test trial environments where you are basically playing war games in a test field? That's how we respawn, right?
Yeah.
Versus if you had a single life environment, like think Rainbow Six Siege, you know, you're the team of squad of five. Once you're down, you're done. You're out. Right, so like, what was that game type in H5 that everybody freaked out about?
Breakout. I love Breakout.
I love Breakout. Breakout was so much fun. Breakout, it was either you screw up, you're dead, you're done. So like in that situation, okay. So I would say coming up with that super hyper competitive element of, all right, you've got all the abilities at hand, but you have one life. You have to counterbalance how that works out. In that sense of, if you're going to overarm a character, you only give them one life. That is going to cause a lot of players to back up, play a little more cautiously, running against each other, unless it's in a firefight environment where you're playing against AI that are consistently coming and trying to beat the living daylights out of you. Like, that's a whole different story. You have a limited number of lives. But in a competitive environment, you have to balance that. So if you choose, say, in a competitive environment, and they make a scaled out, like, loadout, you know who's going to choose what and who's going to choose this and why. So maybe if Snipe Down's on a team, they're going to make sure Snipe Down's always the sniper, and the sniper's going to have a very specific number of elements. But maybe the sniper can't run. Maybe the sniper can't sprint because the sniper's loaded down with all this other gear, and they need that precision ability. Maybe they have limited sprint because they need to make chain balance of the equipment. There's a lot of explanations you can ride it out with, and there's a lot of opportunities. But that, again, goes back to the vision that the studio and the creators and the writers and the developers have over their own product and their right to create it in the vision in which they saw it in the first place before it ever even got put on paper.
Oh, yeah.
That be respected?
Well, yeah, you don't have to like it, though. I don't like Reach's vision or Halo 4's or Halo 5's, but they were made. Like, they can be made and everything, and they'll get their own fans and everything. Like, right. There are people that love Reach. There are people that love Halo 4, Halo 5. I'm not one of those people. I disagree with a lot of the gameplay ideas with those games and in Halo 5 lore, but...
Including Halo. The hammer? Choose your words carefully.
Oh, and wait, which game though? Which game? Because if we're talking
about Infinite,
Oh God, yeah, no, oh, I disagree with that. Yeah,
but so I think we're talking about two fundamentally different things here. Because one is like, okay, looking at what's in the realm of possible within the universe that's been created. But then on the flip side of that, you have okay, what makes for good gameplay? What makes for a good experience that does support all those different modules, like you were saying, Xperia, how does that really give ground and the foundation to all of them and really give, I mean, because Halo has notoriety for being a solid shooter
trendsetter
since its inception. Yeah. And there are certain things that the gaming industry has dictated to be standard now, Sprint kind of being one of those things. I mean, every other shooter game
Sprint
has
and Grapple
sprint.
Have kind of become common in everything. Yeah.
So it's like, as obviously there's going to be some stuff within the industry and within the specific genre that Halo resides in, which is first-person shooter, that obviously if they're not including certain key elements, a lot of the gamers out there that are dictating what features that they love, it's not going to catch on. So there are certain gameplay elements that are required to be in there just from a, hey, we want this game to survive, so we need to kind of work them into the sandbox. But at the same time, there's another set of like, okay, there's these cool features that exist in the lore, but do they fit well in the sandbox? And do they really, like, are any of these features that we're thinking about give an unfair advantage or throw off the balance of what we're trying to achieve in the games that we want people to experience? So it's an excellent question. It's a tug of war between
the two.
It's not an easy answer.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to answer this correctly.
No, there's not.
I mean, right, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't like Sprint, but Infinite Sprint is as perfect a Sprint as ever going to be. It is, for all intents and purposes, useless until it's not useless. And when it's not useless, it is like, it provides a minor but pretty cool, like, bonus. So, like, still, I would still like a no sprint game, but Infinite is literally as good as it's ever going to get with Sprint, and I'm happy with it. Like, I don't think the Sprint debate is fully dead. I think there's still a very good argument to be made for no sprint, but I just can't be asked debating it anymore because Infinite Sprint is like, it's been balanced so well, and the way that it plays in the game is so good that I just don't really care anymore. Like, I still would like a game with no sprint, but I don't care about debating it anymore because, yeah, Infinite Sprint is as good as Sprint is ever going to be, I think. So I'll happily settle
with
that.
And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to break the internet with this one, but I'm going to kind of agree with Xperia on the sense that...
What did you do with DJ?
I know! But, like, now granted, when I first started sprinting in Infinite, it felt like I was running in peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to 4 and 5. And it sucked. However, do you want to know how the number one way I died in 4 and 5?
Just mindlessly sprinting.
Sprinting into my enemy's bullets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or hammers or mm-hmm. swords. Doing things stupidly at high speeds. Why? Because I'm dumb. And I'm really good at being dumb. But the balance, real quick, balance on that, Xperia is right. That balance in that speed, it's just enough of a boost to do what it needs to do without making it over prone to using it as an escape instead of turning and fighting and it becoming a skill-based engagement.
It also feels like, as well, like one of my biggest issues with Sprint before was how it affected gameplay flow, especially in Reach and Halo 4, where you have this really awkward position where you sprint around a corner into somebody and you have to wait for like a second for the animation to finish where you raise your weapon. And it's this second where you literally can't do anything, like you're defenseless.
Yeah.
And the pacing in... It was bad in Halo 4, but it was worse in Halo 4. Oh, sorry, bad. It was bad in Halo 5, but worse in Reaching 4 for me. I just thought the pacing was completely off. And Infinite has, I'm pretty sure there is zero, like, period between sprinting and shooting. Like, the draw period on your weapon is instant. So that's just gone now. Like,
yep.
And also the sprint speed is so slow that we don't have another situation like, what's it called? Truth in Halo 5, where they basically made mention of a big team battle map. Like, there's none of that anymore. Like, the maps are, all the maps so far in Infinite are, like, nicely sized. They're not, like, I like big maps, don't get me wrong, but they're not, like, so big with so much empty space that is just meant for sprinting. Like, I guarantee, right, if you went to Customs, turn a sprint off, every single Infinite map that we played would play perfectly without sprint. You would notice, no difference. And, like, in Halo 5, if you try that, like, walking around Truth in Halo 5 with no sprint takes, like, 3 years.
Right,
it takes ages. Right. It's so big because it has to be like it's a balancing. It just has to be done because when you've got that extra movement thing that I don't know what the percentage increase is in sprint in Halo 5. I'm not sure how much more move speed you get, but it's fast in Halo 5.
It feels like when you have that extra boost. So.
Yeah, well, similar like that.
Yeah,
it's the maps and have to be so much bigger to accommodate, and that's just not a problem anymore at all, which is great.
Well, the upsides is the variety that is that they've shown that they can manage within just the testing we've seen over the last 2 months. It gives that opportunity for hope in that sense that, listen, there will be an opportunity to develop a variety of options in our game types to engage with those specific groups that really like or dislike a feature. They can create a unique experience for that is defined to present an opportunity in order to provide a gameplay that is going to meet the needs of all these different varieties of communities.
Yeah.
In a way that, and it's all going to be in one game.
And with Halo 5, you had that.
That's a first.
Yeah. You had that issue with Halo 5 where when you tried a no sprint game mode or like a classic game mode, the weapons were balanced, the bullet magnetism and the aim assist were built for enhanced mobility. So like, I remember Mythic Arena, which I actually really enjoyed in Halo 5, actually. I thought it was really fun. But you could tell that the BR when that was just not built for classic gameplay at all. Like the bullet magnetism on it and everything was so high. Whereas with Infinite, again, I assume that won't be the case because the weapons aren't designed with Spartans moving at like 3,000 miles an hour anymore. Like everyone is moving at pretty much the same pace. So bullet magnetism doesn't have to be like put through the roof to accommodate for that, which is going to, again, like we were saying earlier, like you just said, make the game so much more modular and open to like different styles of play, which is great.
And I think for the most part that kind of whole aim, like, was it? I guess more aim assist, or maybe it's the bullet magnetism. I think people have kind of tested it and it seems to be lower than it has been in previous games. So hopefully that won't be kind of as much of an issue as it.
Yeah,
as
that's it has been in the past games. I think they both are lower. I think aim assist, and this is coming from someone who plays mostly keyboard and mouse. I think aim assist does need to be increased a little bit for controller.
Agreed.
But bullet magnetism.
Not for controller, for mouse.
No, for controller. Definitely not for mouse. I was going to say, Christ, you don't want to be given mouse.
I need more aim assist and I'm not using a controller to do it. God!
But then you've got like the bullet magnetism in Infinite where there is like almost zero, which is so good. Like you have to be pinpoint with your aim with a sniper or the Skirrel or like any precision or any weapon, like, which is so good. Like, again, I go back to Halo 5. Halo 5 had really high bullet magnetism. It had low aim assist, which is good, but the bullet mag was really high. And it made at least for me, it felt like really inconsistent because there are times where I was like, I'm not going to hit this guy, but if I shoot now, I'm probably going to get the kill. Like that, it shouldn't be happening. And in Infinite, it just doesn't seem to be happening. If anything, it's going too far the other way in Infinite, which is quite interesting.
And well, it's going to be interesting to balance because it's a PC and Xbox native title now. And we're getting into this realm
which
now.
Which is wonderful, finally.
Yeah. But we're now getting to this realm in competitive where the first Halo tournament, you can play on PC or console. It is cross-platform for tournament, which is another crazy thing to think about. Because it's like, okay, now you really have to make sure whatever aim assist you're giving to controllers is not too much to count. Like, you obviously need some aim assist to counter a little bit for mouse and keyboard, just like maybe a hair.
Yeah,
but too much one way or to the other, it will inherently give an advantage to one side or the other.
And the big key element here is that how you mentally process your eye-hand coordination. There are different elements that go into whether or not you are primarily adaptable more to a controller, or you're drawn more to mouse and keyboard. How you process and manage your movement mechanics is directly, like, it goes into your own proprioceptive coordination. Some people are just better on a controller than they are on a keyboard and mouse. I played controller forever. You guys know mm-hmm. this. I was only an Xbox controller guy until I got dragged over to PC by one of my friends and discovered, oh, I actually suck less on keyboard and mouse than I did on controller. Yeah. And it turns out my style of thinking, maneuverability, and how I relate my movement patterns and mechanics is wildly different on keyboard and mouse than it is on controller. Now, do I have a tendency to keep those same controls in the same places for all games across the board? Yes.
I mean that's normal, though, for PC right. players.
It's same thing with controller yeah. layouts. And everybody I know who's going to listen to this podcast is like, DJ, what the actual are you talking about?
I think that's pretty common,
because
though.
When I say I play Halo on fish sticks.
Ooh.
Right? 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 You're already over there like, what the actual?
Well, at least it's not Legacy Southpaw.
I learned on COD and Battlefield Bad Company 2. And it was always the same controller. So when I went to Halo, I was like, all right, well, and they had all these options. I was like, what's this fish sticks? I never cognitively made the connection between fish sticks is the equivalent of COD, which is a fish, Call of Duty's layout. But fish sticks was how I always associated everything on controller.
Oh, I didn't know that was a connection.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though.
That's why it's fish sticks. Fish sticks is the COD controller layout to bring COD players over to Halo. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's the standard.
I learned something today.
Fish sticks is the standard COD design, and I always played that, even on my Elite and Elite 2, was like, I had it all down there, and my stick presses were remapped to my paddles underneath so that I could punch and sprint with my paddles instead of using my sticks to move and to look. The flip side is I ended up destroying less sticks and had less drift problems because I wasn't pounding down like a wild, you know, maniac
right.
on my melee stick, trying to punch somebody while accidentally looking to the right while I'm punching them, because you have to push down while maintaining this correct direction. So instead you can use your paddles while maintaining a relatively calm element on your thumbs, if you could manage that, which, as you know, I'm kind of spastic, so I really didn't do that well with it. Keyboard and mouse, whole different story. Whole different story. You got mouse buttons and things. I did so much better on mouse and keyboard. So it's going to be interesting seeing which players discover in some cases. Now, granted, if you've played one way forever and you're really good at it, maybe you shouldn't switch. But if some of these players discover because of the opportunity and the availability now that they can actually use or are better at a keyboard and mouse versus a controller, it's going to be interesting to see which players migrate to a PC-based design versus maintain with a console-based design for their control schematics.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that was a long-winded way of saying
right,
it.
Right.
Sorry.
No problem. Like you're saying, it's going to be interesting to see how, it's not just competitive. I mean, it's going to be pretty much anything multiplayer, how that is going to affect matchmaking, customs, and competitive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's going to be really interesting watching how the community manage that, because from an influencer standpoint, you know, especially with, like, you've got so many different influencers with so many different opinions about what they hope, what they want to see, what they think should be there versus what the studio thinks should be there versus their own experience, what their community thinks, and managing that medium between them and how that's going to affect the kind of general populist view of, all right, well, this should be now normative.
Yeah. It's tough, too, because you have a lot of folks like us. We're at this point, we're Halo veterans. We've been through, like, the Bungie era of Halo, and we've been through the 343 era of Halo, and we know where the differences are. We think we have a good grasp of what Halo is and what Halo should be, so we know.
Things are still all different, because, like, even within that, you have, like, people that were there for the Bungie era whose favorite game was Reach, favorite game was Halo 1, like, and they're also, right? Like, yeah. That's very the thing with Halo, games. Like, Halo's had so many games that play so differently that there is no, like, collective agreement on, like, pretty much anything besides like, oh yeah, armor lock's bad.
And that's the only thing.
100% agree.
That was kind of the point I was getting at, was that everyone has their own definition of Halo now. Because of where they got their start within the Halo franchise, what they've been through, and other games kind of influence that a little bit as well. You get into another game, it's like, oh, I wish Halo had this mechanic, or I wish Halo did this thing a little bit different with their gun game that PUBG does, or hey, we won the Battle Royale because Dr. Disrespect says Halo can't survive without a Battle Royale.
Whatever.
I mean, it's like everyone has their own opinion, and it makes it that much more difficult for the studio to make a game that, I mean, they're obviously making the game for a couple of reasons. One is they want to make a game because, well, I mean, there's the business aspect of it for one. But two, the developers want to make a game that they want players to enjoy, but at the same time, they want to enjoy as well. Bungie didn't go into making Halo with the notion of, oh, we want this to be a game that everyone enjoys. It's like, no, they're making it a game that they want to play. Yeah. And
that they would enjoy.
Yeah, and they hope that other people that share the same kind of gameplay desires that they have will come and experience and enjoy what they've made.
And anybody who's played Halo and met the team that makes Halo knows this is what they go home and play.
Mm-hmm.
They go home, they'll make dinner, and then what do? They'll probably sit down with colleagues and or fans or friends and play Halo. They love the game. That's why they make it. We watched what they did when we were working with them, and it was wild to see them as interested about their dreams becoming a reality and looking at, you know, when we were first able to go inside the Pelican training, for example. It was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To watch and see the 343 staff be as shocked, amazed, and mesmerized by it as we were. You know, it was very interesting to see. And it's the same situation. We've got people who are passionate about making a game, and yeah, being passionate about supporting it also needs to be part of that equation.
Right. It's tough. They're in a very tough position as they're making Infinite right now. They are fighting nostalgia on one end. They're fighting industry pressures on another end, on what the general populace for first person shooter genres is wanting and expecting. They're fighting their own desires of making a game that they want and telling the stories that they want to tell and making the experiences they want to experience. It's, I mean, for anyone that's listening to this podcast, by the end of this, the point that we're trying to make is everyone is entitled to their own opinion. Everyone is able to have their own thing that is what makes Halo Halo to them. But at the end of the day, 343 is going to make the game they're going to make, and we just need to support them however we can. And if there's something that we disagree with, then say that we disagree with it, but don't just try to drag other people down for having different beliefs or trying to blame the studio for killing Halo, because really it's 343 that's keeping the Halo franchise alive and going and still coming out with games.
The only thing that will ever kill Halo is basically Hidden Experience, the lack of Need for Sprint.
And that's exactly, exactly what not to do.
Don't do that, people.
look, no. Just bring the flip back and I'll settle for it, okay?
Dude.
I'll settle
for it. I
want the back so
bad. Is anybody
bad.
Else really hoping that we get a flood mode that becomes a horror level of nightmare disaster that we can actually just choose? Hey, listen, if you go down this area, hello Nightmaresville, you're about to, this is going to be a show whether you like it or not. It like that would be great. But then again, they've said this is the model that's going to be the frame for the next 10 years. They have so much room. And we've seen 3% of the game. Right now, the focus is like the last couple tests. They were focusing on the network. They're focusing on the multiplayer. Great. Awesome. We haven't seen anything about where this is based, where we can go. In my hopes and dreams, we get to go to the freaking Dyson Sphere.
Which one?
I want to go to Onyx.
Which one?
I want to go to Onyx.
I want to go to Onyx Land.
There's so many places we could go. And that's the thing. Like, all of these different models are built on that designation that there is more and more expanding in this universe that we have yet to even bother to see,
because they won't, and rightfully so, they haven't opened those doors yet. And anybody who's tried to put out spoilers, I will never read your tweets. I will block you immediately. I don't care. I don't care. I don't want to know. I want to be surprised.
Bro, I had some dude donating to me with spoilers. And like, oh, I was like, okay.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing, right? I saw one line of it, instantly just removed the message. I was like, okay, cheers for the money, bro. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Free money.
Yeah.
One great reason why anybody who's a content creator does not want to be, I say this with respect, your size of content creator, but that's, I'm sure, something you have to deal with on a daily basis, people you sending you that kind of crap.
It's not that bad. Like, I've not had it in this world yet, so.
Thank heavens. That's good.
So, like, yeah, it's not too bad, honestly. It's not been as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought, like, because obviously they happened after the first flight, and I thought, because of that, when the second flight came around, like, everyone would just spam them in chat and stuff, but no one really does. It's pretty good, honestly.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You know, I'm good. That's good.
I think for
it's just always a scary thought.
Yeah, and I think it's actually kind of refreshing to really, like, I know people are clamoring for like campaign news, but it's kind of nice going into it somewhat blind, like having a fresh new experience that you really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And
at least for
me, I want to put this out there because I think it's the honest to God reason why they're doing it. That single player, they said co-op's coming. I think part of it, I don't think it's a lack of design or a lack of feature readiness. I think part of it is, look, we've had so many different variations and versions of the game over the years that are still being played in so many different arenas and so many different styles, whether you're PC or Xbox, etc. Your first chance running in, if you're a campaign level person like me who wants to play the campaign, is dying to play the campaign, I'm so excited for the campaign, you get in to go in there and do it by yourself and immerse yourself in that story. It is a brand new birth into what's coming, the new future for Halo. And whether or not I'm right, who knows? Couldn't tell you. I don't work there.
I
but
think,
if that's the case, it's a brilliant move.
It's
a brilliant move on that level. Yes, if the way the story needs to be told originally, or at least in the beginning, is on your own. Now, granted, maybe you get two missions in and then you can connect with people. But that opening sequence, maybe it just needs to be played with you. Maybe it's just you as Chief, acknowledging where the world is at, where the universe is, and where you are, somehow stuck in the middle of it, going, what the hell do I do now? Because who would want to be stuck in that?
I think the co-op part is just, it's not ready yet. I don't think it's something that they're...
I think it ages this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something that they're...
Either way.
But at the same point, I think they're honestly, with that kind of stuff, they're making a mature decision to say, hey, we've released a couple games in our recent history where we've tried to cram some things out and it hasn't worked. So they're making the bold move of saying, no, we're going to only release the features of the game are 99% solidly working. And then we will give you these other features in working order so you're not stuck with a buggy game.
Oh, agreed.
I strongly think that's what they're doing. And not everyone's going to agree with that opinion, but I think it's a very mature move to make.
I would rather have a game that functions and is working.
We don't need another MCC,
than have a game
please.
That comes out as broken. We don't need another Cyberpunk 2077. I'm like, for example, I'm really glad that Dying Light 2 is, it's sad because it was going to come, but I mean, I'm actually kind of glad because it was going to come out the same week as.
Yeah, as Infinite. It was like a few days before.
And I was like, well, crap. Now which one do I play and when? Versus now I can wait till February and play it. And I'm super glad because they also recognize, you know what? It's not where we want it to be. And more studios, I think, should take heed on this. And I think publishers need to be more lax in that sense of, look, if it's not ready for whatever reason, and I've seen this happen, especially with Insula, where we change one thing and it suddenly affects a myriad of other elements down the line. And we're like, well,
yeah,
how did that happen?
And that's, you know, that's and, software development
and you
to
can't
a T.
Change it.
You fix one bug, you create three more.
So our programmer, we found out one thing we wanted to change in the game from a weapon standpoint, and it
resulted in him realizing I have to tear out the entire weapon system and recode it and rebuild it from scratch.
For one change.
And it's true. You want to change one thing. In some cases, it will drastically affect a bunch of things down the line. And from a programming and development standpoint, it's not a matter of flipping a switch. You can't just click a box and go, okay, well, this will change that. You may have to reprogram a myriad of different elements that will affect other things, and those things will affect other things, and it creates this avalanche that in some cases you have to cause and then fix, because you know what? We didn't have any other way around it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to put in this element, or this element, which I can only, like, I would rather them figure that out, work it out, and I'll be happy to sit here and wait and try stuff. It's okay. I know that I'm going to be locked into that game the minute it's available. Mm-hmm. I don't care when it's released. Released at midnight? Fine. I'm going to be a very late night person. Let's go. 8,000. I'll line up all of my rock stars. I don't care.
So many.
Speaking
of, you all can drink those. I'll just steal Coke.
I can't. Nah, I can't do energy drinks. I can't stand energy drinks.
I do coffee.
Yeah. I drink a lot of
where's
coffee.
Where's the coffee integration with Halo? Where's that?
Yeah, dude,
where's
the Folgers with Halo? Where are the protein bars? Like,
oh, protein bars.
Do protein bars. Protein, I'll buy the. I will right, buy where's the health thing? Yeah. See, that's really, I get, obviously, games have always been marketed for, like, fast food and stuff, because it obviously goes hand in hand, but I do think there should be a move towards, like, you can still do the fast food stuff, right? But, like, do at least do, like, protein bars or something like that that's, like, at least kind of healthy, because... Like, a lot of it's just like,
I want to peel a banana and see a guy. See a game code.
Yeah,
I want to peel a banana and see a game code.
Where's my, like, banished? Where's my, like, banished logo in a bruise on a banana?
A banished banana.
Yeah.
Oh my god. They're on Bizarre.
Like, yeah, I do wish they'd do more stuff like that. To be honest, where it's like,
it's your banished coconuts here. Have fun getting into it.
Yeah.
What? On a deserted tropical island.
Oh my god. God, that'd be so
funny.
That
would be insane.
I would laugh so hard.
Halo Infinite Marketing brought to you by the Monty Python coconuts.
Oh my god. And it's just, you just got to make it clap in the right thing, and all of a sudden you do that in game chat, and it'll bring up the code. You just have to make a proper horse trot. That's the worst idea ever, and I hope they do it.
It'd be so bad. I'm sorry. Seriously, though, it'd be kind of awesome if it was. My Python crossover Halo? I mean, come on. And yeah.
All I can see is the French castle. Oh, God. The smell of elderberries. I fought in your general direction. Yeah, well, I have a fuel rod cannon. What are you going to do now?
It's nothing but a scratch. Nothing but a scratch.
It's just a flesh wound.
It is, but a
come
scratch.
On.
It, a flesh you wound. Do. I'm sure between the three of
bleed
us, we could quote
me?
The entire movie.
God, that would be so hilarious. But
DJ, you want to bring those reading streams back, and we just want to quote the whole Monty Python movie?
Oh my God, I would do it. I will do it. Definitely.
So what's kind of
that's hilarious.
The one thing that everyone's kind of either concerned or is interested to see the outcome of whenever Halo Infinite launches at this point. And obviously we don't know much
for
about
me,
the campaign, so it might be mostly multiplayer, but
yeah, for me the big concern now, the only lasting concern for me now is day one content. Like I am still quite concerned about the amount, or rather the potential lack thereof, content on day one. Like, I know obviously every game nowadays does this, but I still don't think that like that should mean that it's okay to do. Like, it shouldn't be like an acceptable norm to just launch games without content. And the fact that there's like no progression system, there's no co-op, there's no forge, there's no like other things, like obviously it's not like quite as a necessity as a progression system like playable elites and stuff like that. Like, I just don't want a repeat of Halo 5 where like the game is just completely empty and devoid of anything on day one. And the fact that we already know so many things that won't be there is a little bit disheartening. That is like my last major concern with this game. Most of my other concerns have very much been put to rest now. It's like, oh, it's not that bad. But the fact that we just know so much about what isn't going to be there. The biggest one for me is progression system. Like, that's just one of those things that, like, it's not even, I don't know. It's just one of those things that just should be there. Like, it is one of those things that every single video game, since literally Halo 3 and COD 4, has done. for good reason. Helps player retention, gives people a reason to come back, and gives them like a reason to enjoy the game even more than they already are. Gives them something to feel like they're earning something and progressing. And just not having that is just huge. It still kind of blows my mind every time I think about it. The fact that there's going to be just day one, there's going to be a battle pass that everyone is going to go through in the exact same order, and that's it. Well, that's it then.
Just yeah.
Nothing else. That's it.
I will say, for me, the I don't want to see what happened at MCC. I had to waste points on crap I will never use, on my character, never actually adorn.
I think that's still the thing that they're doing in Infinite, though. You have to go through
it's
going to
be...
If there's one thing that I could impress upon the team, it is the fact that... Now, granted, in Infinite, it's a whole different story. Because these things are all going to be applicable to, but I want to be able to choose. I want to redeem that and this thing over here. This looks awesome. I don't really care about the legs. These legs are dumb. I don't want to have to buy these.
Yeah.
I think they look stupid.
Yeah, I don't think
but
that's
I think
the
these
look
great.
I think the whole battle pass system across all the industry right now is you have to go in order for most, unless they're loot boxes.
Right. But MCC, for example, there was all this stuff for 2 and 3 and stuff. I'm never going to play Halo CE multiplayer, ever. I'll never play H2 or H2A multiplayer, ever again. 3, not likely. They're just not my bag. This is not my thing. There are plenty of reasons, but it's just not my thing. It's not that they're bad. It's just not of interest for me, mostly because there's no griffball, except for 3, and even then, that griffball was...
Well, so the MCC not important. Unlocks isn't based but on which games you play. It's just based on... earning season
it's
points
based in an order, and there's all I had to go through. I would have had to have dumped a metric crap ton of points onto a bunch of armor stuffs from 2 and 3 and reach that I don't actually care about. I don't care about them because I'm never going to use them in a game. Now, if I want the banners, I love the banners. The banners are so awesome. They've done such a great job with animating the banners. And let's be honest, those look great. They're animated banners.
Yeah, they look sick.
Freaking notch 343. Well done. And I want to collect all the banners. I want to collect the different armor effects. I want to collect things like that. For me, my goal for getting all my points was so that I could collect all my ricochet armor. Because I'm a griffball player. And that football helmet style ricochet armor with the shoulder pads and everything, that was legit. Loved it. Once I got it, I was fine. I added the weather effects. Cool. Awesome. That's all I wanted. No, I'm saving for season 8 because I know they're going to come up with some great stuff for season 8. I'm super excited for it because that's coming out later on, very soon, actually. But
I mean, if the system that we saw during the fighting is anything to go off of, it's pretty similar to MCC style where you have whatever the season
my hope
pass you're unlocking at the time, you have to go through the levels to get whatever piece that you want.
My hope is there's a relatively even dispersal of these different elements, so you're not having to slug through 7 different pieces of shin armor to a banner, because I don't care about the shins. I want the banners.
That's the issue that MCC had, like you said, and when Reach first came out, everyone in matchmaking for the first 2 weeks was wearing the exact same armor. Everyone was progressing through the battle pass at pretty much the same rate, so everyone was unlocking the same armor at the same time and wearing the same armor at the same time. And obviously with Halo 3 didn't have that because armor was unlocked from challenges through achievements and stuff like that, and also through levels. Reach, you bought it in whichever order you wanted. Halo 4, you completed certain challenges or commendations or achievements or campaign things and stuff like that, so you got different things. But then MCC's oh no, everyone gets it the exact same way, and it will end up being the same way for the most part in Infinite, because the only progression system is the battle pass. So the only way obviously we're going to get stuff for campaign, but
we still have 2 months though. They have 2 months. Those little things about how things are accessed, those can be changed or altered if they felt the need or heard a voice.
Do you think something like that can be changed in 2 months before launch? Bear in mind the game's got to go gold as well, a few weeks before.
I believe so, because these are the things that can be adjusted. These are not game breaking elements of alteration.
No, but it still takes a lot of time to rebuild
the AR or readjust how this entire armor fits when you're moving through a doorway or things like that. This is just a progression system.
But
I've never programmed one.
We know that it won't be there at launch, though. They've said that at launch, this is how it's going to be, and then they'll look at it after launch.
Yeah, and they'll see what works, what doesn't. If it needs to be changed, they'll change it. Like, and that's the upside. They're so transparent. I got to hand it to them. They've been so transparent about things and been so vocal about, all right, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. And here's where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, they have been very transparent. They've absolutely been transparent with it, which is great. But no progression system really hurts.
No progression system matters.
I think it'll happen when it
happens. Certainly sucks.
Yeah. Battle pass.
Because that means those of us who suck at shooting have to wait for progression.
Oh, see, that's another thing as well. That's a good point. That's a really good point, actually. Because the people that, like, aren't like super good at the game and want to feel like they're achieving something as they're playing it aren't really going to feel that. Like, yeah, they'll progress through the battle pass at, like, a really slow rate because the only way to get XP is through challenges and they've got to do certain things for that. But that's, like, it, you know?
Well, and that battle pass is almost strictly multiplayer-based.
I'll be honest, I've had to really get more deep into multiplayer because I wanted points for my... I had to find something I wanted, and it was the Ricochet armor. Once I saw it was there, I realized, all right, I've got to do my thing. I've got to get into this. I got to find people who can teach me how to be better at shooting and not be complete and total garbage. And I'm still a trash can. It's okay. I'm not as much of a trash can. I'm more like just a waste bucket kind of a thing.
I mean,
right. I have my trash can lineage has slimmed down as I've been able to do more things in the game, which was also interesting playing because that it was so complete sidebar. It was interesting how it translated once I started playing in MCC and really looking into earning the points in multiplayer and teaming up with different people to learn different things. Dusty taught me, we've played a bunch together in there. And I've played a lot of different people in there, which has been a learning experience. And it was funny how it translated into what I was about to learn in Infinite. And I teamed up with Minolta and Anthrax and Geek Fam and Green Skull and looking at learning callouts, designs, strategies, how to play the game, not just play the game. Yeah, play the game, you shoot people. Great, easy. How to play in a specific design of a match. How do you play strongholds? It's very different than how you play CTF. It's very different than how you play Slayer. Callouts, positions, map comprehension. Even when you're in a new map and everybody's learning it and you're coming up with a commonality, those comms are important in how you learn it, how you experience it, and how you navigate it in order to try and get towards success. And it was, I'm excited to get back once Griffball's out of MCC's rotation. I'm excited to go back in to multiplayer to try those tactics in MCC because I think it will result in something different. Not everybody has the opportunity to play with people who are educated and skilled in or capable of teaching you how to play in a shooty environment. But again, that's also why people go to channels like yours to watch these types of things and go, okay, I'm learning because I'm listening, I'm watching. Your YouTube videos are great for that. You're great with the callouts. It's interesting to see that balance between what some people are better at learning by watching a video versus other people are better at learning by experiencing. So it creates an odd dynamic. How does that translate into those people finding those who can teach and learning from in environments that best suit them to be better at a game that they have fallen in love with and that their hearts are engaged with? Again, not an easy equation.
No, yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. There's a lot that's not easy when it comes to just the state of how games are made, how they're played. Yeah. It's no small feat, which is why game development takes so long and it takes so many people. And It's crazy. Yeah, progression system is going to be an interesting one. The amount of content or I guess we only know as much maybe from the multiplayer side of things, but how many more maps we're going to get at launch than the ones that we've seen during the flighting will be interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think you guys pretty much touched on, for me, it's pretty much kind of the content. What's going to be there that's going to keep people there despite some of what would have traditionally been core features like Forge, co-op.
It's coming.
Yeah, we know it's coming, but the whole mentality, and we've talked about this on the podcast before and probably with you, DJ, before you got busy with life. But there's definitely a group of people that are going to be like, well, if I'm not playing at the start and there's these features missing, then the game's kind of dead to me at launch type of thing. And it's kind of, you have to take a different look at it. It's like, it's not necessarily, it's feature incomplete as far as what we've come to anticipate and desire as fans for the game, but it's not necessarily feature incomplete in the fact of 343 is just throwing it out the window. It's just, it's not quite ready yet. And I know people are going to complain that, yes, Infinite has had 2 times the development cycle than the past Halo games. You know what? Games are a lot harder to build these days. They completely tore down and rebuilt the engine nearly from scratch.
And a pandemic.
And a pandemic. I mean, there's so many factors going into what's happening with Infinite.
Everything hit at the wrong the wrong time.
And yeah, it's okay to be upset that there's things not there. But at the same time, 343 is committed to bringing those core features that Halo fans know and love to the game. And in and on top of that, we don't know what else they're planning on bringing to the game that might make it even more awesome once it comes out.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I'm hoping that there's like a wealth of new stuff that they've not shown off yet to kind of offset the fact that these things aren't going to be there.
It's going to be timing, though.
That will definitely...
There's going to be...
What do you mean?
How long is it going to take for those things to come out? Like, they've already mentioned that, it's either Forge or Co-op's coming out possibly 2 months after, and then the other one's 3 months after.
Yeah, Co-op's 3 months and Forge is 6, I think.
Yeah, so it's like, is that...
it's that way.
Like, is that too much time for people? Like, are people going to wait for those features to come out and then they're going to dive in? Like, how do some of those releases, and then kind of what you guys were saying as far as progression system and content, how long is the difference between when the game launches and that additional content going to be? And is that short or long enough to maintain that player base?
Yeah, that's the million dollar question, really.
Yeah, and no one has that answer.
I'm going to throw a couple things out with regards to that, and just as just my own 2 cents, and I'm going to probably get crucified on social media for this, and it doesn't matter. One, it doesn't matter. It's up to the studio. A, if you're a Halo fan, you're going to play the game regardless, and then when those features come, you're going to jump right back on in, and I'm excited to see when Forge hits. Man, these Forgers are going to go nuts. The one thing that I thought was so amazing was at the end of the last flighting, watching social media explode. The amount of positivity was so muted, the toxic minority, in such a grand way. And it was beautiful to see how many people celebrated what went right. Not that it was perfect, not that it was executed, like that everything was perfect, but what they enjoyed. Looking at that overarching, hey, this right here, this was fascinatingly awesome. This was unexpectedly cool. This was something I didn't expect to enjoy, and I did, etc. Boom. I'm excited because when Infinite launches, I am going to really enjoy being able to sit back and watch so many different content creators and so many different people, influencers on social media, and watch that change in tone as Halo goes back into a moment, into that era of that viewed positivity, and seeing that consistency in the Halo fans re-embracing a franchise that has been with us for 20 freaking years. And yeah, is it perfect? No, no game is. No game ever has been. Anybody who says that there's a Halo game that was perfect is a liar.
you'll have people that argue that.
I know, and they're wrong. So, but again, that's my opinion.
We now lost our only follower.
Not they're actually
podcast.
Wrong.
Thank you, DJ.
Right. There we go. But I think we're going to see a new unification of the community under one banner finally. Now, granted, there's going to be a lot of differences of opinions, and I'm going to continue saying I want to sprint faster, and Xperia is going to send me, you know, all sorts of hate mail, right, and it's going to be awesome.
We're all wrong sometimes, DJ. We're all wrong sometimes.
Right. I know. And I won't die on that hill, but I will say I want to fix the hammer. But
oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Let's defend the hill
right?
together.
There
let's
we go. We're going to high five on that. We're having pints on that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's watching all these fans finally coming together and getting to experience something we've all been waiting for, whether we've been waiting for Sprint or not waiting for Sprint, whether we've been looking for the campaign or we've just been wanting to go in and smash the crap out of noobs. We all are going to join together in Halo for, I don't know, December 8th till the middle of 2022 when we finally are like, all right, I need to take a break for 5 minutes and play another game.
But then Forge is going to come out and there's going to be so many mini games and so many customs. So exactly. They're going to be sucked right
back
in.
We're all going to be back on the same page mm-hmm. again. Differing opinions always, because it creates good conversation like the one we've had here. It doesn't mean we have to agree on things, but we can explain ourselves in a way that provides at least clarity and an opportunity to understand one another in a way where we can both stand arm in arm looking at the same game going, damn, this is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm excited for. I want the community to come back together as one. And there's so many factions right now. And I think that's one of the scariest things to watch is seeing this division that's happened. And I'm like, I've kind of backed out of most Halo contests after what I'm playing or when Griffball's on and I go in and try and teach people how to play with a hammer. But it's interesting watching because we've seen what the fans do. God, I remember all the people who kept lining up asking me, hey, can you go ask Hidden Xperia if he'll come over here? Like, it was awesome because it was a Chicago, right?
Yeah, Chicago.
Yeah. And it was Chicago and these kids were like, oh my God, Hidden
Xperia. And there was a whole, whole like, make like, a wish thing happening, and I got dragged into them. Like, I didn't know this was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like,
oh, yeah.
Come join the other content creators. I'm like, okay, cool. Sure, why not?
And the future we have for events to watch as people get to engage with their favorite content creators and the new opportunities for ways the community gets to engage and experience Halo. This is a brand new roadmap, and it's a brand new outlet. Is. And it's going to be, I think that's what I'm most excited for. There's going to be so much fun to sit back and watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's kind of, as we kind of start wrapping this up here, what's kind of the main things that both of your communities are really looking forward to as far as what kind of the new experience or what Halo Infinite is going to bring that will contribute most to the franchise overall, I guess?
For me, definitely campaign. And I'm still the same. Like, as much as I love multiplayer, and as much as I enjoyed like both Arena and BTB, campaign is still the thing that I'm most excited for.
I'd have to agree.
Especially with Infinite, with how like just how unbelievably cool it sounds.
I mean, I think for all of us, we pretty much got our start because of campaign mostly, right?
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
You gonna team up with people doing achievement hunting? I found half the skulls I never knew existed because of you.
Me and Halo 3 skulls, just follow me.
Right? It's like, can we just go over here, do this, flip over there? I'm like, oh God, I'm still in the sand. Hold on.
Yeah, and you went to the bathroom. We got the, I would have been your daddy skull for you on Halo 3 and you weren't even there.
Right? It was grand. I will say that for me, for my community, and is mostly just figuring out how to balance the hammer in the right way for Griffball, which is a whole different topic, not even remotely related to what everybody else wants because we're a niche bunch of, you know, we like hammers and swords and sports mm-hmm. in that sense. Like, but the big number one thing I can't wait to do is get into campaign. I want that story, man. I want that. I want my heartstrings to be tugged on. I want that anticipation when the story ends up either. I feel like we're going to have cliffhangers. I'm excited for the cliffhangers. I want the cliffhangers to be able to sit and go, oh, like we did at the end of Halo 2.
Yeah.
We all were like, what the f***? Where is the rest of the story? And then we waited, and we waited for a minute. We waited for a long minute between those games. And it was damn well worth the wait. And I'm excited because we get that again. But it's all in one game. And if they want to release the story in pieces, like, you know, they're an add-on, here's chapter one. Here's chapter two. We have no idea how they're going to tell the story, but they've proven that they can tell stories in varying different ways. I'm excited to see how they're going to tell it. I'm excited. But I think we all agree that that's how we feel about Master Chief and our allegiance to his lineage and his legacy is it's how we can define hope.
Yeah. That we guys got to be receptive to the stories that 343 wants to tell. I mean, obviously there's going to be things that we might not agree with or we might not like, but it's their story to tell.
Just fix the hammer.
How would you fix the hammer?
Fix the hammer and bring the flood back.
Right, okay, DJ, give it, I want 30 seconds, right? This is your 30-second pitch. Fix the hammer for me in 30 seconds.
Okay. The hammer timing needs to be drawn back. It's taking too long to drop it, and here's why. When you go back and you compare it, the way that the hammer was dropped in 3 versus Reach versus 4 versus 5, there's a consistency between Reach 4 and 5 in the way the hammer is immediately dropped. You click it and it's within less than a second and it drops. Now, granted, that reload time has changed. The number of frames that it takes in order to get the hammer back up and back down again, that's changed. But you need that immediate action ability. It's always been like that. So why in the world, in an advanced stage of existence, is it harder for us to drop the hammer? Why does it take longer? It's not like it's an advanced hammer. It's not like it's a hammer that suddenly weighs more. We're suddenly a bunch of weaker Spartans. It's the same Spartan. It's the same model. You've got to be able to drop that hammer for the pliability and availability and the playability of Griffball. It is a niche sport, but you need to be able to drop that, walk it, grab it, and bang it. Now, granted, does that mean that this hammer that they've got in multiplayer is the same one that we're going to be using in Griffball? Maybe not. Maybe there's a Griffball hammer they've made. Maybe there's the ability to adjust the hammer inside the settings. Maybe we have an ability to master and really proof that hammer and make it into something that is uniquely perfected for Griffball. That meets the needs of the community. All of these things will be told and found out December 8th. And once we get there, awesome. In the meantime, if it's not the case, please, for the love of God, I want to drop the hammer. Let me drop the hammer. I just want to hit people. That's really all I want. It's very dark. That longer than 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, that's the biggest issue that I've got with it as well. That and the physics, the lack of physics. I tested this out in the fight. The physics effect is so weird in it. Like, some things work perfectly. Like, the physics against vehicles work perfectly. But then there's just nothing against yourself. It's weird. Very strange.
I'm gonna throw out a perspective, and I could be wrong. So tell me if I'm completely way off base, but I think it was a placeholder.
I hope so.
I hope it's just not finished.
If I hit melee, do you know what happens?
Oh, it's the same animation, Roger.
The hammer animation. You get that immediate smack in the face. But what you got for animation was the hammer drop. To me, what that says is we have a placeholder in here because right now the big bones, the big structural support project of our multiplayer is not the damn hammer. It's the AR, the BR, the pistols, the other weapons, all of these other weapons. They are what is going to be our primarily used devices. Now, granted, the hammer's a power weapon, but it can be balanced later. Remember Reach? We had an entire test that was just weapon tuning for MCC.
Yeah, the TU update.
Remember that?
TU update.
So we had these things. We had the weapon tuning updates where we just did that and tested that as insiders. My thought is, of all the weapons that needs to be focused on right now, the hammer is not the one. Do I want to focus on? Sure. If somebody's got 5 minutes, they can just throw down on that thing. I don't have a problem with that. But that's not going to benefit the community, the greater community at large. It's going to benefit the Griffballers. Sure. But you know what? We're fine. When you get to it, please get to it. But hopefully you get to it soon. The other weapons were a bigger concern. And the fact that there was no melee animation, the first thing that hit in my mind was something we went through with Insula. And I thought, this is a placeholder. They haven't finished this because right now that may not be the priority. And I wouldn't expect it to be the priority. You got to get your staples down, your snipers, your BRs, your ARs in both Forerunner, UNSC, and Covenant versions. You know, get the Needler, like classics. Needlers, like all of those things need to be perfected first before the hammer. That said, we can't play Griffball without the damn hammer. So, if we can adjust it and build it out and make it what we need it to be, then great. We'll do the same thing we've done forever once Forge comes out and adjust that for customs so that it meets the needs of the Griffball community in a way that gives it new life and advances the game beyond where it was in 4 and 5 into its new iteration, which is exciting. And I'm excited to see how that rolls out. But I'm not definitely like, yeah, you didn't have the hammer, so I eat you, blah, blah, blah. No, I got to play with the hammer and beat the crap out of some people.
Come on.
But, right. No, it's a thing. But when I didn't see the melee with it, that was my first thought was, okay, they're just not done with it. No worries. I'm fine with that. keep working. Do your thing. You've got, this has got 2 months. This has got two freaking months plus all the rest of the time coming forward. It's fine. And in the meantime, I'm running Griffball tournaments in Halo 4. So I don't care. I still get to throw the ball and hit it with a hammer. It's like baseball or cricket. It's like a bastardized cricket.
Cricket's boring as hell, so I don't blame you for that.
You should come play Griffball.
I used to play cricket. I used to play cricket.
I still don't understand cricket. Mm.
Yeah, it's too boring to explain. It's so boring. Such a boring sport.
Enlighten us plebs over here on the other side of the Atlantic.
You bowl the ball, you hit the ball, you try and catch the ball. You stand around in a pitch for 8 hours and do nothing. That's pretty much what it is. I used to play for school and also for like another club as well. And oh God, it was boring. Oh,
I'm just realizing there's no horses in cricket. I was thinking of polo.
Oh yeah, no. No, unless you've got a net worth over 9 figures, you're not allowed to play polo. Unless your net worth is eight or 9 figures, then you can't play polo.
So that YouTube money is getting perfect. You on well, playing polo, huh, now? Right?
Unfortunately, I'm still quite a ways off playing polo. I'm not quite 8 figures yet.
Come on, biggest Halo YouTuber out there. You sure you're rolling in 8 figures by now, right? Come on.
maybe high 7 figures. Maybe low 8 figures. Like, good, you never know.
I'm going to call my friend who owns Clydesdale farms around the country. And the next time you're in the U.S., I want to bring a Clydesdale to whatever Halo event you're at that you have to get on it.
Wait, what's that? What's a Clydesdale?
Clydesdales? You ever seen the Budweiser horses? They're like 11 feet tall.
Oh.
They're gigantic.
Oh, okay. I've never seen them before, but I know what you mean.
They're huge. Huge horses.
So that horse is like twice the size of me then, basically.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could walk under it.
But you know what?
That's
you
a good comparison.
I probably could.
No, I remember like my friends had a Tennessee Walker, and Tennessee Walkers are smaller than Clydesdales. And I remember walking up next to this horse, and I could jump and still not see over its back. It was huge. It was the nicest horse. It was the nicest horse in the whole world, but it was this gigantic thing.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell? Why are you this size? And of course, you know, then he just nip at my hair when I had it. There you go.
When you had it. Oh my God.
How did you lose your hair? Well, a horse ate it.
You know what? That's a good story. You should tell that as
actually
a story.
A really good story.
Yeah, you should use that as an excuse. That's why. Horse in my head.
I fed it to Craig the Brute.
That's why I don't have hair anymore.
My hair to Craig the Brute.
It went to a better source. It went to a more needing source.
Now we just need one Brute with a toupee. Look, it's DJ.
At toupee Brute.
At toupee.
Oh God.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Toupee.
That was too perfect.
That was good reference.
That was too
good
perfect.
Reference. Damn it. That was perfect.
Good
that
reference.
Was awesome. All right. There we go.
DJ and Xperia, thank you so much for coming on. This is actually our 800th Podtacular episode.
What?
800. Right.
Woo! Congratulations. That's incredible.
That's insane.
So thank you both for making this one a little special for this time around.
Absolutely, bro. That's sick. Congrats.
It's a pleasure, sir. Always.
Thanks. I've been doing this podcast for 639 of those episodes at this point now.
Good grief.
A long time.
When did
man.
You start? What year did you start?
2008. Like, October 2008.
Oof. Wow. And you actually, didn't meet till what? 15?
Yeah. So I actually remember seeing Podtacular episodes featured on like Bungie.net posts.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Which is like the craziest thing. That's mad.
Technically before my time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember in 2015 at my very first gaming convention ever. I'd never been to one until 2015 and rolled into RTX. And that was when you had your 10-year anniversary.
Yeah. Yep.
And you guys were 10. You had the podcast was 10 years old. We had that incredible party at that little barbecue
Moonshine.
Place that was behind.
Moonshine.
Yeah. Moonshine. It was behind the convention center. And I've just known you ever since.
Yeah.
There's John Halo, and then there's Dustorm. I was like, all right, well, there you go. Dusty's always there, so.
There's sorry. The Halo guy.
Right? It's Dusty. Yes.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations on 800,
thank
man.
You.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's sick.
GG.
Yeah, it's a wild ride. That's pressing on to 1,000.
There we
One
go.
More years, we'll be there. We'll be there.
Next achievement, four digits.
And then we'll throw another anniversary party. Who knows what that's going to be looking like?
Involve masks and a lot of hand sanitizer.
We'll have to see how the world looks at that point.
Bro, when the COVID Zeta variant just released.
Oh, jeez. We'll be halfway into the Halo Infinite 10-year like life cycle. The new Zeta variant on Zeta Halo. There'll be a whole new meaning of meta.
I was going to say, at least it's quite on brand. At least it's on brand.
There you go.
Watch the Zeta variant cause our lower jaw to just separate. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, look.
When the Zeta variant comes out, you'll just see the O look like a Halo sign.
Yeah. they'll have official branding by then.
That'll be hilarious.
I'm sure Microsoft would love that.
Oh, yeah. Can we get the PR team and legal on this? Oh, God.
But it works so well with our branding.
It does line up almost too well.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are all of your launch plans? I know I'm going to be probably unavailable because I will hopefully be in London for a vacation during launch. But what are your guys' launch plans for Infinite?
Work, 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 content, 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 play, play, content, content. Pretty much it.
Okay. are you doing campaign first? Or are you doing multiplayer first? I've still got to decide.
Like, I still don't know how to kind of organize all of it because I'm in this weird spot where like I need to make loads of content and I want to make loads of content, but at the same time I do just want to enjoy the game as a Halo fan as well.
Yeah,
like it's a weird spot to be in where I've kind of got to try and balance both.
I don't envy your decision that you have to make. I mean, great, we're going to be doing the podcast and whatnot, and we'll be streaming, but we only have that weekly commitment for an audio show where you're putting content up like 20 minutes after anything comes out, and it's like, I don't know how he does it.
I'm going to, let me just, like DJ said earlier, it's going to be Zombie Luke around Christmas time this year.
Oh, man. Here we go.
Yeah,
you're pretty much bang on with that idea, DJ. Luke, are you okay? Master Chief said a Halo ban is just from what? What? Oh, there's pudding. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, something like that.
Another video. Like that.
I am definitely not going to be flying to the UK to stand outside of Luke's house and consistently unplug his internet right for just for fun, because I feel like that would frustrate the living daylights out of him.
When I was trying to stream the flight this time and I was having technical difficulties, it was, oh man, it was really pissing me off.
Oh God, no. I'm actually sad we aren't going to do the Live in London event because that was the original plan, but we'll be doing live stuff all on my Twitch channel. I've got my new YouTube channel coming up, mostly just to say, hey, I know Hidden Xperia. That's all I'm going to say is I drop that's going to be end of my video and I'll be like, watch, hoping people subscribe. I know Luke.
Oh my God. Bro,
new book reads and stuff. So that's what we're going to be focusing on is the lore and really looking into the book side of things as we continue the reading program. But yeah, no, the day, late launch day, it's going to be campaign. And then I'm going to go and let people beat the living crap out of me. I almost swore. Beat the living crap out of me in multiplayer.
Nice.
Until I get the hammer, and then they're going to have to deal with the fact that
the hammer's different and it doesn't work like it used to anymore. Right? And you're not used to it anymore. You can't use it.
Right.
People are like, oh God, they fixed it. DJ's good suddenly. Only on one map.
In one mode. Yeah. I'm not sure what we're going to do because I'll obviously be in London. Well, ideally in London. Plan is to be in London. So as far as what we're doing on Podtacular side of things, that's going to be up to Haas and GT if they're going to be streaming. Well, GT will probably be streaming campaign. Haas might be doing multiplayer. And I know for podcast...
Might? Come on.
Well, I mean, as far as streaming on the Podtacular channel side of things, I don't know if
he's going to destroy people.
So we'll see what happens as far as the Podtacular content. But as far as podcasts go, obviously the week after the game comes out, we'll start doing our kind of typical format of talking about doing one campaign mission per show and then talking about one multiplayer map function per show. That's kind of been the classic Podtacular formula whenever new games come out. It's like basically talk about one mission and one multiplayer map per show, talk about like tips that people have, little tricks or things to watch out for, and just kind of generally talking about how to play the map and how to play it well, type of thing. So,
yeah, awesome, yeah.
Cool. And also, just to add it here, we're hosting our very first tournament here in the middle of November. It's our Fiesta Frenzy nice. Tournament. $2,000 prize pool, $1,000 for first place, $650 for second place, and $350 for third place.
Nice.
Yeah. That's going to be taking place the second full weekend in November, which is November 13th and 14th. And we're currently going through the maps with Forge Hub. Since it was kind of a dual thing, we had the forging side of it and Podtackler's hosting the tournament side of it. So if anyone's interested in doing a super...
That's the 13th and 14th?
Yeah, of November.
Uh-oh. Got it.
So if anyone's interested in doing a Fiesta-based competitive Halo tournament, this is the one for you. We're going to see how well this goes.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Announcement for that. By the time this podcast comes out, may or may not be up just yet. When we're recording this, I plan on getting it out this week, releasing all the details, releasing the sign-up forms. I think we're going to cap it at 32 teams just for the sake of squeezing it into 2 days. But if anyone is interested, just head on over to the Podtackler socials and the website. That's where all the info on the tournament will be. And hopefully we'll get to see some wacky plays, because it's basically competitive with a Super Fiesta spin on it. So it's going to be mayhem and hectic and whatnot through and through.
Nice.
So as we wrap up, where can people find y'all? Socials, channels, all that good stuff. We'll start with Xperia.
I am Hidden Xperia on YouTube, on Twitch, on Instagram, Twitter, pretty much everything. Just Hidden Xperia. Pretty simple.
And were you streaming on Twitch or are you streaming mostly on YouTube?
I was streaming on YouTube for the flights, but I think I'm just going to move to Twitch in the future, because YouTube streaming is like both really good and really bad. It's good because you can send notifications out to all your subs and stuff, but at the same time, it's bad because the whole like the way that you stream and the way that streams work from the streaming side of things is really awkward compared to Twitch. So I think I'm still kind of debating it. I did say during the last flight that I was going to go to Twitch, and I'm still tempted, but I'm kind of debating it because like, I don't know how much I'm going to stream around launch time, because I'm going to be so busy with videos. Like, I don't know if I'm even going to get time to stream, you know? So, right. I don't know. So, yeah, the Twitch is Hidden Xperia, so go follow it, just in case I do start streaming over there frequently. I do stream, like, quite sporadically over there. But when I'm streaming Halo, most of the time, it's on YouTube.
Okay. Very good. And then, DJ, I think most people that are listening probably know where you are, but in case we have some new listeners or new audience members, where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, and now YouTube at DJ Blue PDX.
Oh, you got a YouTube channel set up now.
Yes. I've had a YouTube channel forever. I've just never used it. And now I have a YouTube manager who's doing all my videos.
Oh, okay.
And so
nice.
Yeah, because I don't have the patience to edit video. And yeah.
So is it mainly just highlights?
It's time consuming.
Yeah. Is it mainly just highlights, or is it some structured content as well?
So we are starting off with, we did one for the flight as just a kind of a test, right?
Okay.
And that just, we're working on that one. We're going to be putting out, so the DJ Reads category is something the community has asked for. And so on Tuesdays I read books. And so we're going to be starting off with Ready Player One, Ready Player Two, and then moving into some of the Halo books. And so those read throughs are going to be part of what's on there. And then we'll do read only versions for some of our, as a subscriber perk for the Twitch channel. But that plus gameplay, and we're going to be focusing on highlights mostly at start, and then seeing how the reception is and looking at what the trends are, what's needed, what's lacking, what works well, what maybe doesn't respond so well, and kind of navigate from there. It's just, I've never done it, and I'm guaranteeing that I will be sending Luke questions.
Dude, feel free. If you ever have like any questions about YouTube or anything, like, feel free to message me. I'll happily help out.
It's just going to be a lot of capital letters,
WTF, bro?
I need help, and please.
And you know what? That sounds perfectly right with YouTube.
Send you gift wine gifts or something. Like, hey, thanks for helping out, Bubba.
Yeah, no, for real though. If you ever need any questions or anything, like ever need like any help, just hit me up and I'll happily help out.
Will do. Much love. Appreciate it, man.
Cool.
No worries.
Well, thank you all for being on. This has been a great little special to do it with both of you. And I know both of you are going to be crunching out content when Infinite comes out. So best wishes to all of y'all. I will hopefully be relaxing when Infinite comes back. And then
you,
I'll hopefully be refreshed when I come back. Unlike both of you guys, I will be busting your butts trying to get content and streams and whatnot going.
Nice.
But for the Podtacular side of things, you can find Podtacular on social media. Pretty much search for Podtacular on most platforms. And no, we're not on MySpace pins. And you'll find us there. Same thing across podcasting platforms. We are on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Amazon Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. Pretty much everywhere that there you can consume podcasts. If there's not a place, just reach out to us and let us know, and we'll work on getting the podcast where you like to listen to podcasts. You can also check out the community on Discord. We have most of the folks that participate in game nights or participate in community discussion over on our Discord, podtacular.com/discord. We also put up a poll for our game nights, which happens every Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. With the Infinite Flight currently on hiatus until either the next flight or until launch, we're going back to voting for either MCC or Halo 5 for our Friday nights. So hop on in the Discord, vote, and come play with us on Fridays. We also have Achieving Halos on Sundays. We were doing the flight for the past couple weeks, but we'll be back on doing some 360 achievements since those on the matchmaking side of things will not be available come mid-December. And then we've also got the podcast recording, which is normally Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Now, if you want to support the podcast, you can do so in a number of different ways. You can just share the podcast with your friends, let them check out the show, spread the word, always helps. If you want to help us out monetarily, there's a few ways to do so. First way is to become a subscriber on Twitch, or you can ask Pins for a subscription when you come to one of our live shows. I'm sure he'll be happy to give you one. We've also got folks on our Patreon supporting us over there. We've got Prestige Ace, Pins, Halo, and Confal supporting over there. If you want to donate to us directly, though, and bypass all of the hoops of Patreon, Twitch, and everything else, then you can donate to us directly via PayPal, podtacular.com/donate. Hidden Xperia, DJ Blue, PDX, thank you both again for being on. Best wishes for y'all in the coming days and months of content and streaming. Can't wait for you guys to be on the podcast again. We'll see where we are in a couple of months and see how... See how the Halo community is taking in the new blood of Halo Infinite.
Yes, absolutely.
Certainly.
Absolutely, man.
Certainly. All right, yes. Well, as always, keep on fragging them trucks.